Praise the Lord. Yeah, Father, we pray that you will open our eyes. Amen. The eyes of our heart. Amen. To fully understand and grasp what is in your heart. Amen. We want to be the true worshipers. Amen. Those who will satisfy your heart's desire. Amen. May the Spirit teach us. May the Holy Anointing lead us into the reality of keeping all these feasts and to bring the spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. I know this is definitely not so embedded in our concepts, but I hope that through the fellowship and the conferences in this past half a year concerning this matter, the Lord will really touch our heart and give us the consciousness to practice this. Because this is not just for your knowledge. This is for our practice. Many other things in the Bible can be just knowledge. But these things, keeping the feast, it's not a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of practice. It's the appointed time given by God to us. Amen. To worship Him in a very special way. Right? That is why in the Gospel of John, the Lord says, now the time has come that the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and with the reality of all the offerings. So you cannot just come empty-handed. This is not my demand. No, this is what God says. I can't say any other way. Right? Because the Father says, do not come empty-handed. Meaning to say, you have to bring the first fruits of your harvest. As simple as that. Right. So today, as Christians and in the church life, if we are not really laboring on Christ day by day, we are not sowing, we are not clearing our hearts, remove all the leaven, whatever is there, so that this wonderful seed of the kingdom and seed of life will grow within us. Then you will have the first fruits. And much fruit. But the Lord only wants the first fruits. Because the rest you can enjoy anytime, anywhere, with anybody. But the first fruits belong to God. Remember this. The first fruits belong to God. That is why last night I tried to demonstrate the Lord Jesus being the first fruit in resurrection. Right? When Mary wanted to cling to Him, the Lord says, no, don't touch me. Why not? Because the Lord is the first fruit in resurrection. The firstborn from the dead. He has to go to the Father to offer up Himself to the Father. Even the Lord has to do that. How much more you and I, we need to offer the sacrifices, the first fruits, to God our Father. Right. Don't say, oh, there's no need for the Lord to ascend to the Father. The Lord knows the Lord. The Father knows the Lord is resurrected, right? Don't you think so? So, is that good enough? You mean to say it's not good enough? The Lord has to still go to the Father to offer up Himself? Yes. Why? There's no why. No need to ask why. Why? Because it is written. The Lord has to do it. Right? It's not a matter of whether the Father knows the Lord Jesus is resurrected or not. Of course He knows. It is God who raised Him up from the dead. Don't tell me the Father didn't know the Lord Jesus was resurrected. Of course he knew. But the Lord, as the first fruit, must be offered up to the Father for his enjoyment. This is what God demanded. You and I, we have no choice. I cannot say, it does not matter. No, it's not up to me. Because we are worshiping the Father. If you want to worship him, you worship him his way. Amen. Not your way. Your way is not acceptable. Sorry. It may be a good idea. It may be very wonderful. It may be a good thought. It may sound good. It may look good. Whatever, you know, there are many reasons for us not to do whatever the Father wants. But it's not acceptable to God. You want to follow God, you have to do it His way. Amen. Yeah. All right. So now, back to this wonderful chart. I hope you like this chart. convince you to like it. The spring harvest. Oh, I really love this wonderful harvest time. You know, in this spring harvest, the first crop that ripened in Palestine, in Israel, that was the barley. The barley is the first crop that is ripened. Right. So there's a harvest of the barley. Praise the Lord. And that's why in the Bible, the barley signifies the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this day of harvest is exactly on the third day when the Lord rose again from the dead. And this is the harvest time that you have to bring the first fruit of the barley and offer it up to God. Hey, let me tell you, God's timing is perfect. You have to be impressed with the Creator, you know, determining the season of the harvest and what should ripen first. And the feast is exactly at the time when you can harvest the first fruit of barley and bring it to Jerusalem. How about that? Who can say that it is not arranged by God? And why did God arrange it like that? It's because it has a wonderful spiritual significance. Everything that God created is not at random. Whatever God created has a wonderful significance to express His glory, to express Himself. Even the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb is not just for you to enjoy the lamb chops. Yeah. It is for the Passover. Right? So whatever God created is really wonderful and meaningful. Right? So now, let's come back here. The first harvest of the year in the month of Nisan, barley, the first grain to ripen first, which correspond to our March and April. That's why we always have the spring conference in the feast. It's a feasting time, right? So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, now, you can really see what was harvested in this time. What did God harvest in this first harvest? Yeah. Tell me, what did God harvest? The barley. And what does it signify? The resurrection. Of whom? Christ. Of Christ. Wow, that is a wonderful harvest. You know, can you imagine God was waiting for this harvest? Right. So when Christ rose again, my, he is the firstborn from the dead. The first fruit in resurrection. Wow, what a wonderful fruit. So wonderful. You cannot imagine. Right? I believe the whole heavenly realm is excited to see the Lord ascending to the Father to offer himself up to the Father as the first fruit. It must be a beautiful sight. I wasn't there, of course. Neither are you. But you can imagine how pleased the Father was. How happy God was. Right? Finally, he gained such a wonderful first fruit. The firstborn from the dead. Designated as Son of God in power. In his humanity. This is not a small work of God. This is a great work of God. And we became the many brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Right. So may the Lord open your eyes to really see this wonderful harvest time. The feast. That's why in the first feast you have these three together. Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Right. The culmination is the first fruit. Right. This is too wonderful. Oh, I cannot really express how I feel in my heart concerning this wonderful feast. God must be very happy. But is that good enough? Are there only three feasts? 50 days later, which is the summer harvest, is the Feast of Weeks, seventh Sabbath. After seventh Sabbath, the next day is the Feast of Pentecost. What happened during the Feast of Pentecost? The Lord ascended 10 days before, and at that day he poured out the Spirit. By the way, somebody called to attention that in the Feast of Tabernacles is on the 15th day of the month, of the seventh month. Right? Not the 14th. I'm sorry, that's a mistake. The 15th day. So you can really change it to the 15th day. Right. So, what happened after the Holy Spirit was poured out? What did the Lord harvest? What did God harvest during this second harvest? It's the harvest of wheat, right? And so during this time, in the harvest time, the people must prepare what? Two loaves. Is it of leavened or unleavened bread? I thought God didn't want any leaven. Not by fire. No, it is to wave these loaves as an offering to the Father. Now, these two loaves signifies what? The church. The church. Because God's intention is not just to harvest Christ. Right. But also the church. Don't say Christ is good enough. No. The church must also be harvested. So the church was brought forth in the day of Pentecost through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. After Christ accomplished everything, then the Spirit was poured out for the bringing forth of the church. This is too wonderful. This is the second harvest. 50 days after the spring harvest is the harvest of the wheat. Wheat signifies the humanity, the human race. The Lord is like a grain of wheat that fell to the ground to bring forth what? Many grains. Many grains. Right? So, but unfortunately, the churches still have a lot of what? You sure? No more leaven? Is there leaven here in Fountain Valley? John? Yes. Are you offended if I say there's leaven in the church here in Fountain Valley? I'm speaking the truth in love. Timo, do you still have leaven in you?
Of course.
Of course. You're not angry if I say you have some leaven you have to get rid of?
It's the truth.
It's the truth. You know, brothers, I also still have leaven in me. So what should I do? Get mad at myself? I have to what? What? Louder. Purge out the leaven. That's why we have to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Who amongst us here does not have leaven? I guess everybody has. That's why we need to keep the feast of unleavened bread. Is that so terrible? Is it so difficult? Is it impossible? Well, of course, it's up to you. If you want to get rid of it, that's fine. If you want to keep it, it's up to you. It's your choice. But if you want to keep the feast, then you have to do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't keep the feast. So what are we going to do? Are we going to keep the feast or not? Really? Keep it with joy, right? Don't keep it with, oh, I'm going to keep the feast. So sorry, I have to get rid of my leaven. Oh, so terrible. Don't do that. No, it's a feast. You should be happy to get rid of the leaven. Right? It's a wonderful feast. So, in the summer harvest, praise the Lord. In spite of the leaven, because of what the Lord has accomplished, you can really see the Lord accepted us, but not as an offering made by fire, because according to the main basic rule in the Bible, no leaven should be offered up by fire to the Father. God will not accept it. No. That's why you have the feast of the unleavened bread, to purge out the leaven that is in the church. Right? Or should I say, in all the churches. Right? Then you have the last harvest. This morning we just talked about the harvest and nothing else. Right? The last harvest. My, this is a wonderful harvest. This is the harvest when the Lord comes back. Remember, the last three feasts will be accomplished at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is right here in the chart. It's a wonderful knowledge. It's a necessary knowledge for you to know. Right. You better know this. Because it is written. Because it is in the Bible. Right? The last harvest of the year, also called the Feast of Ingathering, in the month of Tishri, the seventh month, which correspond to our September, October, in this time, where you have the harvest of the oil, the harvest of the vine, the harvest of whatever is left there. This is really a wonderful time of harvest. That means the second coming of the Lord Jesus is also a harvest time. Right? So, what do you want to offer up when the Lord Jesus comes back, Freddy? You want to offer up first fruits or no? No first fruits, no harvest, nothing for him to harvest? Tell me. What is the best harvest when the Lord comes back? The what? The first fruits? Who is the first fruit here? You. We. Oh, you're too proud to say that. How can you say we? And if you say we, my goodness, yeah, you are just taking care of yourself. You don't. Timo might be offended because you are forcing him to be the first fruit. So don't ever mention first fruits, because you are going to give two a problem here. Two will say, I'm not like Freddy, he is so strong and I'm so weak. When you say you're the first fruit, you are looking down on two. Are you looking down on two? Is it wrong to have a desire to be the first fruits? Are you comparing yourself to me, a weak brother? No? Are you sure? Will you cause a stumbling to me if you say you want to be the first fruit? Your no is not very convincing. I know. The answer is no. Because the Lord desires the first fruits. And if he desires the first fruit in the harvest, give it to him. Right. What else are you going to give him? Only the first fruit will be brought up to the throne before God, before the great tribulation begins. If I'm not a first fruit, then I have to go through the heat, to go through the tribulation, to be ripened at the very end, but then that's no longer the first fruits, because the first fruit is already taken up. So what do you prefer, Achim?
First fruit.
You sure?
Yes.
Very sure. You're not being proud.
I'm not.
I believe you. I believe you. I don't think any one of us here is proud. We have nothing to be proud of. But we just desire to believe in the living Word of God. You think the Lord doesn't desire the first fruits? Right? Actually, the proper attitude is not because I like to be the first fruits, but because I want to satisfy my Father. Because the first fruits is for his enjoyment.
It is for the Father. It is not for you, neither is it for me. God desires it.
That's what it's all about. Because the Father says, the first fruits belongs to me. It's not for your enjoyment, not for anybody's enjoyment, but for the Father's enjoyment. Wow, so wonderful, the first fruits. You know, you can see this wonderful harvest time there. During the end, the last harvest, in Revelation chapter 12, you have the harvest of the man-child. Don't you think God is waiting for that harvest? You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? All went to the wedding. Do you think the bridegroom will be happy if nobody attends the wedding? Who is getting married soon? No. Okay. Can you imagine, John, at your wedding with Sharon, you invited so many guests, but nobody showed up? Are you happy? You're the bridegroom. Are you happy? Will you be happy? Suppose you're the father of the bridegroom and nobody showed up. And finally, not even the bride showed up. Oh my goodness. That would be a terrible wedding, right? Because the bride was not ready yet. Didn't show up. So, blessed are those who are invited. Oh, don't say that, because those who didn't want to attend will get offended. Oh, my goodness. No. Blessed are all those who are invited to the wedding feast. But unfortunately, only 5 went in and the other 5 didn't. Because 5 are wise, the other 5 are foolish. Oh, don't make that difference. You're dividing the body of Christ here. You're dividing the virgins. I didn't divide the virgins. The Lord did in Matthew chapter 25. Who divided the foolish and the wise? Tell me. Who divided them? Huh? By themselves? No, come on. The Lord Jesus. Who gave the parable? You mean to say the Lord Jesus caused division among the virgins? Huh? Tell me. Is that good or bad? Matthew 25. Very good. You're causing division there between foolish and wise. Don't make that difference among Christians, please. Hey, you see my finger? I'm sorry. I didn't make that division. I did not make that distinction. It didn't come from me. It happens to come from the Lord Himself. Now, dear saints, do you want to be a wise virgin or you want to be a foolish one? You are causing division. Don't say wise or foolish. Just say, I want to be a virgin. That's good enough. No. If you say you're wise, you are telling me that I'm foolish. So don't say that you're wise, then you say I'm foolish. No? Better just to have all foolish ones and no wise ones than to have 5 wise, 5 foolish. How about that? Well, if the Lord makes that difference, I want to be the wise one. It does not mean that I despise the foolish ones. You know, when the resurrection came, the foolish one told the wise virgins, please give us some of your oil because our oil runs out. What did the wise one says? Here, take all of it. Let me help you because I pity you. I really want to help you. I want to take care of you. Here, have all of my oil. Thank you, right? Have my oil. You know, if I give him my oil, it end up none of us will enter into the wedding. Because it is neither enough for them and for me, for the wise or for the... So we end up, if I give you some or you gave me some, then at the end, neither you nor me will be qualified to enter into the wedding, huh? Right or wrong? Because that's what a wise virgin says, right? Sorry, otherwise it won't be enough. So you're going to give it back to me? At least one of us should enter. You may not be happy to hear this, but this is the way it is. I am not speaking here to make you happy. But this is the truth. So, when the harvest time comes, there is the man-child, raptured to the throne, and the woman fled to the wilderness. Isn't it true? Who made that difference? Why didn't God just rapture the whole woman to the throne? Isn't that better? Isn't that better? Tell me. You should say, it's not up to me, it is up to God. He determines who to rapture. And what about the last harvest? You have the first fruit and you have the general harvest. You have the harvest of the first fruit in the beginning of chapter 14, and you have the general harvest at the end of chapter 14. So which group do you belong to? It's serious business. Is it doctrine? John, you are just giving us knowledge. No, I'm talking about harvest. I'm not talking about knowledge. The Lord knows. But which part do you want to be? The general harvest, going through the great tribulation, the heat? Or do you want to be the first fruits to be taken up to the throne for God's enjoyment? Well, you make your choice. You see, in the Bible, in the Word of God, it is written there are many choices. You can choose what you want to be. Right. May the Lord open. Because the truth will set everybody free. Amen. The truth will set everybody free. So may the Lord really open our eyes. Here's a general harvest in gathering. My, the Lord is all for the harvest. All this three times a year, right? our harvest time, and that should tell you that without anything to harvest, there is nothing for you to bring to the feast for the offerings. So, what are you going to do? Come empty-handed. And if you don't want to come empty-handed, what should you do? Labor. Labor on the good land. Sow the seeds of barley, the wheat, and the vine, and grow things in the garden, in the farm, in God's farm. Because only what is grown in that wonderful farm, the fruit will become the first fruit for you to bring as offering to the Father. Is it too much? Is it not too much? Oh, see. It's okay. Are you still okay? This is why the Lord appointed all this three times a year. You need to understand this. Because if it is not harvest time, you and I, the people of God, will have nothing to bring to Jerusalem to offer up to the Father. There will be no feast. At least the Father will have nothing. So, praise God, three times a year you have to bring your offerings, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, right? Including the wave, the heave offering, the thanksgiving offering, even your vows you bring. And then the sin offering and the trespass offering, all of these offerings, and including your drink offering, you bring to the Father. Wow, it will be such a joy for the Father. And God promised, you bring me all of these offerings, I will pour out my blessings upon you. Then even the weakest one amongst us will be blessed and strengthened and enjoy all the riches. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Or may the Lord really open our eyes to see this. Right? I don't want to be distracted this morning from the matter of the harvest. That's why I stayed on this matter of the harvest, to let you really have a clear, simple view. I think everybody will understand, and not just the intellectual, the academics, and all this. Oh my goodness, you know, yeah. Are we all academics here? Definitely not, right? At least I'm not. No, what we need is not to be intellectual and academic. We need revelation from the Holy Spirit. We need the holy anointing to teach us the heavenly and spiritual things. No, spiritual things are not for the mentally intellectual PhDs or whatever degree you have. It means nothing. Right? But look at those fishermen. They understood the heavenly things. What about Paul? He threw away all his degrees. He considered everything he learned as dung because he wanted to know Christ. So, may the Lord really open our eyes and show us these simple things. This is not high intellectual knowledge, no. Right? It's hard for you to learn this anywhere. You learn this from the Lord. May the Lord open our eyes. Let's have some prayers, right?
Amen.
Amen.